Welcome to Community Connections. I'm Alan Collier. It's my pleasure to be with you for the next 2 hours. We've got some great interviews coming up this afternoon. And the first one we've got is with the Healesville Community Garden, Ethne and Mark. Welcome to you two.
Thanks.
Thank you, Alan. Great to be back.
Great to have you back. Now, first of all, I've got to ask you, because I had a phone call just a little while ago before we went to air, because we have listeners in other areas, of course, other than Healesville. Is there a group of community gardens around? I know there's a couple in Carlton at the high-rise ones. Does every sort of suburb or different places have them, or is there only just a few around?
There are many, many, many community gardens all through Melbourne and surrounds. And we're really lucky here in the Yarra Ranges. We've got nine. So we've actually got nine functioning community gardens dotted throughout.
In the Yarra Valley?
Yeah, Yarra Ranges. So
Yarra Ranges.
Yep, Tacoma, Belgrave, right through and all the way through to Knox. So Knox isn't Yarra Ranges, but it's a really significant community garden and very well run.
Yep.
And through the Yarra Ranges Council, we actually now have a new community gardens network, which is managed by Chelsea McNabb from ECOS.
I was going to ask you that. Was there a network or an association or something like that?
Yeah, so that came about last year. It's fantastic. So the nine community gardens get to meet once a month, and we do that via Zoom. You know, we share all of our, success and, challenges, and we share information and resources, and it's a really fantastic network for the gardens throughout the Yarra Ranges.
So if we've got people, we'll say at Murrabark or down that way, who want to find out, is there a website just for community gardens anywhere, do you know?
Yes. So if anyone wants to sort of find out what's local to them, probably the best thing to do is to go onto the Yarra Ranges Shire website and just key in community gardens, and then there's a whole lot of information that will come up. And their descriptions about each community garden, where they are, their opening hours, their membership. So it's pretty detailed and, pretty good.
Terrific. All right. So now we've done that. So the person who rang me, you just go and have a look and you can find out whatever's down your way. All right. So let's now get down to specifics to the Healesville Community Garden, because that's what we're here to talk about. And you've got an open day festival or whatever you like coming up on April the 7th, I believe.
Absolutely. So this is called Healesville Homegrown Food Fair. This will be our third, actually, and it's settled down into April as being the regular date that we'll have them.
And the weather's still probably good.
It's still probably good. So we've been lucky so far, but given the changing weather, we don't want to moz ourselves. So we've got our fingers and our toes crossed for the 7th of April. And this year it's starting at 11 a.m, goes through to 1 p.m. And about halfway through the fair, we're going to start a music event as well. So we're hoping there's going to be plenty to attract locals.
All right, so I rock up on the 7th of April to, let's talk about the community garden first of all as itself. So what am I going to find?
Okay, so at the fair itself, we're going to find about 18 stalls. So we've got some fantastic participation from local groups, from Huey to the Living and Learning Centre. The Community Bank will be there. No Reason for Rubbish, like a whole range of people, which is fantastic. And there'll be activities, there'll be things like face painting, and we'll also have a lot of gardening demos inside the garden itself.
Oh, yeah.
And Marcus will be leading those, so anytime you want to pick up on that, Marcus can talk about that.
Yep. So we'll have a few demonstrations going. We'll have some DIY watering systems. We'll also have the Three Sisters demonstration going on, and then we'll have a propagating station for the kids to learn all about growing.
Oh, right. And also, you can get something to eat while you're there.
Free pizza.
Yep.
Over to you, Marcus.
Yep, we'll have some great homemade pizzas going. Wood-fired pizza. Yep, homemade wood-fired pizzas, which my kids, Jaden and Ashley, will actually be preparing. So looking forward to that.
Oh, so it should be a terrific day. That's between 11 a.m. and 1 p.m. on Sunday the 7th of April, which is only about, two or three weeks away. It's not that long to go to it.
Mm.
So if you want to come along and learn more about the garden, and it's situated at
Healesville Community Garden. So we're at 95 River Street, Healesville. So that's part of Coronation Park. A good landmark for people who aren't that familiar is the Healesville Bowls Club. So we're tucked away in the park behind the Bowls Club. But for people who are familiar with the Healesville Organic Food Market, it's just a walk in from the car park there.
So now you just brushed over a little bit though. But there is a free music event on the same day between 12 and 3. What am I going to find out if I get there? What's going to happen there, please?
We've got about 3 hours of fantastic music, all from amateur local performers. So the idea is to really kind of showcase our local talent. We've got singer-songwriters, we've got performers, and these aren't generally gigging performers, so they're not people who are earning money, you know, by going out and doing their thing. So it's a great opportunity for people to, you know, have an audience, to have somebody to play to, and it's also a really nice vibe for the garden while the fair is going on.
And let's be honest, some of these local talent, there's really a lot of talent, but they often don't get the opportunity to showcase themselves to a live audience, do they? Very often they just don't get that opportunity.
Exactly. And there are fewer and fewer opportunities kind of throughout the Yarra Ranges. But, you know, it's harder for venues to, you know, sort of pay performers and create those opportunities. So it's great that groups like ours can create opportunities, and it's free for the public. So it's a free event. Stroll in, stroll out. It's at the park, which is a off-lead dog park. So it's dog-friendly, it's family-friendly. People bring a picnic and just make a really kind of relaxed afternoon of it.
And let's be honest, you can't get cheaper than free. And, you know, we're all saying that times are tough at the moment. So to come and have a day or quite a bit of the day, free entertainment and all sorts of stuff, and also get a free pizza, you can't do much better than that.
That's pretty good.
All right, we've just got to take a quick break and we'll be back with more.
Conversation, a little more action, please. Yarra Valley FM 99.1.
Baby. Welcome back to Community Connections, and I'm talking to Ethna and Mark from the Healesville Community Garden. We've been telling you a little bit about what they've got coming up on the 7th of April. So we'll give you those details again and contact details at about 3 or 4 minutes to one. So have a bit of paper and pencil ready, and you can take down the details. But anyway, let's talk about other things, because Healesville Gardens doesn't only run just that one day on the 7th of April. So you've got some workshops coming up.
Yeah, we do. We have monthly workshops. And we kicked the year off in February with soil preparation, and which went really well. That was a good one.
Yep.
Then in March, it was also February, we had a guest presenter doing the art of pizza making. So that was, that was the first for us to, well, for a while anyway, to have a guest presenter in. Marcus had done most of our workshops last year, and he'll be doing some more a little bit later this year.
On what sort of, when we talk workshops, that can cover a lot. So if somebody turns up, I know each month's probably a bit different, but if someone turns up in May, what are they expecting to see and learn?
So in May this year, we have a guest presenter, a local mushroom grower, Tom, who will be presenting all different varieties of mushrooms that you can grow at home, and he's very knowledgeable on all kinds of mushrooms you can find. The next
Sorry, I just want to cut across it. Is there commercial mushrooms in the Yarra Valley? Because I haven't heard of them.
So he actually does small-scale farming and sells at the local Hillsville Farmers Market on a Saturday.
Didn't know that.
Yep. And then the next workshop we'll be doing after that is called Making Food Fun, and it's all about getting kids involved with food and making it fun and colourful and enjoyable.
And when you talk about that, are you talking about using natural products out of your garden, or you just talk about cooking?
Yep, so we'll be doing a bit of both, trying to use as much natural produce as we can and show them as much colours and varieties of vegetables and fruit that we can, and try and get them a bit hands-on involved as well.
Yeah. Well, I mean, let's be honest, the young people of the future, they need to know, don't they? More and more people are turning towards natural products, natural things, aren't they, rather than, I mean, some of this stuff, I think by the time, I remember years ago the doctor saying to me, we were talking about breakfast cereal, and he said to me, sometimes you'd be better to eat the box and throw away the inside. There's as much goodness in the box as what there is in the stuff has been so...
That's exactly right.
Had so much done to it.
Yep. So we're trying to produce, trying to promote organic, healthy, nutritious food.
Sounds good.
And another one that we'll have a little bit later in the year is tool maintenance for predominantly women, like garden tools, so your mowers, your brush cutters, all of those sorts of things, where often we don't have those skills. Often women don't grow up learning those skills, just as, sort of par for the course. And a lot of women garden. So we're really looking forward to setting that one up. So it'll be, safety around using equipment, how to use it, how to maintain tools, and how to sort of manage petrol-powered tools, but also more and more of the, battery-operated tools that, people like to use because they're lightweight and clean. Yep. So that'll be a nice one for us as well.
And that's a terrific idea because, let's be honest, particularly I'm talking now probably more of the older age group, that the husband's passed on and they're still in a property where they need to do the lawns and cut back trees and all that sort of stuff. Not that I suggest people start climbing ladders, but, a lot of the guys were brought up with that because their dad said, well, you need to know it, but Mum didn't, did she?
Exactly. And we've spoken to a number of women. Like, we really tried to canvas what, women would enjoy learning and doing. Yep. And speaking to older women, you're absolutely right. So many women have, their husbands have passed away. They've got a shed full of equipment that they can't use or don't want to use, but might have to use. So hopefully that workshop will, fill in some of those gaps for them.
Well, particularly as times get a bit tougher, and they are a bit tough, particularly on a single income family, they can't afford always to get a gardener in and do all these jobs. They just haven't got the money. So, to be able to teach them a skill, and I notice that, which has nothing to do with the garden, but I notice that some organisations are teaching women now basic car skills because Dad taught the son how to change a tyre and that, but he never taught his daughter.
Exactly. So the little bit that we can offer toward, upskilling people, we will. So this will be one, hopefully, of many to come in future.
Sounds good. All right, we'll just take another quick break and we're back with more.
What's the matter with the clothes I'm wearing? Can't you tell that your tie's too wide? Maybe I should buy some old tab collars. Welcome back to the age of jive. Where have you
you've been hiding out lately, honey? You can't dress trash until you spend a lot of money. Everybody's talking about the new sound, funny, but it's still rock and roll to me. What's the matter with the car I'm driving? Can't you tell that it's out of style? Should I get a set of white wall tires? Are you gonna cruise the Miracle Mile? Nowadays you can't be too sentimental. Your best bet's a true baby blue Continental. Hot funk, cool punk, even if it's old junk, it's still rock and roll to me. Just give it half a chance. Don't waste your money on a new set of speakers. You get more mileage from a cheap pair of sneakers. Licks face, new way, dance crazy. Anyways, it's still rock and roll to me. Don't you know that they're out of touch? Well, should I try to be a straight A student? If you are, then you think too much. Don't you know about the new fashion, honey? All you need are looks and a whole lot of money. It's the next phase, new wave, dance craze. Anyways, it's still rock and roll to me. Everybody's talking about the new sound, funny, but it's still rock and roll to me.
I'm talking to Mark and Ethne from the Healesville Community Garden. Now, I think I'm really intrigued about this next little project or program you've got coming up. So tell us a bit about it, please, Ethne.
We're really lucky that Cliff Overton, who's a local, he's a garden member. He's also a firefighter and I think just all-round community contributor, came to the garden and said, I've had this great idea for a fundraiser called Machine on the Green. Can the garden auspice it? So we listened to the idea, we loved it, and we got behind it. Cliff's idea is to have a fundraising event where anyone who's got a vehicle that has a minimum of two wheels and a maximum of three wheels.
Which intrigues me, as you know, that's really got me intrigued.
And is engine powered, so not battery powered, but engine powered. And if they can get their vehicle there and drive it onto the green, which is the corner of Green Street and River Street in Healesville, then it'll be a display event and people pay to vote, and whoever or whatever, you know, whichever vehicle gets the most votes by popular demand, the money raised will go to a charity of their choice. Not the voter's choice, but yep, of the organiser's choice. And that will be on the 12th of May in Healesville. Cliff will get the promotions going shortly, but we've given the idea such a big tick and we're really excited to be part of it.
I reckon it'll be fascinating. As I said to you off air, I can understand you get plenty of two-wheelers because you've got motorbikes, and in fact I saw a whole lot of motorbikes in Healesville only a couple of hours ago. But they all had, sidecars. So there's three wheels.
Yep.
Hadn't thought of that. There was a whole lot of them in the main street of Healesville. But I know there were one or two three-wheeler cars, but, gee, I wouldn't think there'd be many left in anywhere around, to be honest.
Well, we're really keen to see what people turn up with.
So am I.
It'll be fun. But what's fantastic from the community gardens point of view is that we get to support something as well. So we usually are the ones asking for help because we're in a small volunteer-led group. So for us now to step out and be able to help somebody else's idea and somebody else's event is very exciting for us.
Oh, I think that's terrific. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be back with more. Welcome back to Community Connections. We're talking to Mark and Ethne from the Hillsville Community Garden. Now, it's probably a year or so since we've had you in, so I guess there's been some improvements down there at the Hillsville Community Garden.
Thanks, Alan. Yeah, we had a really big year last year, so we're fortunate to get some funding to actually do some site upgrades.
Yep.
So we got some state government funding to recover the poly house and to put in some new planter boxes. We upgraded part of the pathway, which we're still working on, and we've also got another grant this year coming up for mid-year to put in a new small water tank. So we're continuing to just, you know, make improvements as well as just the regular management of the gardens, you know, sort of week in, week out. But we get really good feedback from the community. So each time they see some improvement at the garden, it, you know, it increases their enjoyment of the garden. They like to see things, you know, sort of constantly developing and changing. We were able to put back in artworks that were flood damaged a couple of years ago. And all these little tidies just, you know, sort of add to the look and feel of the garden.
And speaking of community projects that we've got going on at the moment, I just thought this would be a good time to bring up that we've been doing a project, Plant the Seeds for the Community, where we grow as much local fresh organic produce that we can, and so far we've grown over 30 kilos to donate to charities around Hillsville so far.
So like the groups that are handing out free food and that to disadvantage that, is that where it's
exactly right? So we're doing our best to help the community eat as healthily and organically as possible and freely.
Yeah, because the problem is, and I don't need to tell you this, is that we all should be eating organic, free and all that, but often it's very expensive at the supermarkets, isn't it?
That's exactly right.
So community gardens can really play a part in that whole sort of food growing and food distribution process. One thing we do need to mention, this is quite a serious one, Alan, is that there's an increasing incidence of Queensland fruit fly throughout the Yarra Ranges.
Yeah, we've had Bronwyn in here, yeah, so yes. Give that a mention for sure.
Absolutely. And one of the things we all love to do, whether we're home growers or community gardeners, is share food. So I think now we just need to sort of, you know, amp up our knowledge about, you know, pest management, what's happening in our local environments, and just, you know, make sure that the food that we're sharing around, you know, that we've checked it, that it's not infested with, you know, Queensland fruit fly, anything else. And it's, you know, let's keep it going, but let's just, you know, keep our eye open a bit.
And it's also a case of if you've got some fruit trees in your own backyard too, you need to be very vigilant too, don't you?
Exactly. So it's home gardening, community gardening and food sharing.
Yeah. All right. So, and let's go back to the 12th of May. We've got the machines on the green. And we're going to talk a bit more in the next break, after the next break, about on Sunday the 7th of April, about these community voices and also down at the community garden.
Thank you.
Sounds good. All right, we'll take another quick break and we'll be back with more.
Yarra Valley FM acknowledges the traditional owners, the Wurundjeri people, as the custodians of this land we broadcast from. We pay respects to elders past, present and emerging.
Back to Community Connections, and we're talking to Ethne and Mark. Ethne, you want to talk about a favourite subject of mine, compost.
It's always fun. It always brings a smile to your face, Alan. I love it.
Certainly does.
So at the community garden, obviously, you know, we focus on growing food. We grow food for our own tables. We grow food to share for the community, as Marcus has been talking about. But part of that whole system is actually then putting plant waste back, or unused plants, yep, you know, or parts of plants back into your system. So, you know, going through compost. So we've got
Very often out of a plant, like you take the fruit or whatever, but there's still stuff left, isn't there?
Yes, and often a lot of plant material after you've taken the food.
Yep.
So we've got a compost hub at the garden, and before the introduction of FOGO bins, we actually had a system for the community to come and contribute their food scraps. Once the FOGO bins came in, that contribution really dropped, but we're lucky that there's some community members who still bring their food scraps.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, you know, because they see the value in supporting the garden, which is fantastic. But we do love that FOGO bins are there so that food doesn't go into landfill.
Yep.
So it's really kind of a bit of a shout-out to people that if they're still interested in supporting the garden through food scraps or, you know, being part of helping us manage compost, you know, we would welcome it. We'd sort of welcome that engagement. So it always takes effort, like managing a compost system, making sure it's running properly, that you produce good compost to actually then put back into the gardens. It's, you know, it takes effort.
So how long does it, like if you've got a compost bin, we'll say, you know, a lot of people got these black and whatever colour compost bin. So if they've put it all in and fill it up over a period of time, how long before it really breaks down to what you call really good compost?
It varies so much. It really depends on, like, the system you use and also how much wet material you put in. So, like, those kind of the food scraps that can be sort of quite wet, you know, that, you know, it's been part of your cooking. So how much dry material you put in. So that could be, you know, dry leaves that you've, you know, mulched up in your lawnmower that you've, you know, put back in, or paper or anything else a bit bulkier. So it can be quite quick or quite slow. At the garden, some of our compost takes a very long time because it's woody. So we've got a...
When you're saying how long, but when you're saying long, what are you talking, 3 months, 6 months?
Longer. So it could say, like, really woody stalks can, like, you know, take a year, like, to, you know, sort of break down really slowly. Through the compost hub, we can move material that has come in as like food scraps through one bay, like the first sort of raw materials bay, put them into a second bay where it's kind of middling, it's starting to break down nicely, and then move it into a third bay where it's quite fine and ready for use in the garden. And that could take like 4 to 6 months. Yeah.
So you were saying some of it comes in quite wet and other of it comes in dry. So how big a difference does that make? Like, would it make 6 months difference if you put in wet stuff as opposed to dry stuff, or what?
It'll probably go quicker with the food scraps that we get, you know, so like, you know, potato peelings and, you know, tea bags and all those sorts of things. It'll probably take more like a few months. So if we're putting in a nice mix of dry material, which includes shredded paper, then it can be, you know, sort of quicker. But anything that's, you know, really quite, it's got big rinds, like thick rinds, or it just kind of, you know, harder, woodier materials, it'll take longer.
I'm intrigued. So how long would paper take to break down?
It really just depends on the conditions, whether it's wet, whether it's hot, if you're turning it over, if you're mixing it through soil. So there's actually a lot of different factors that can come into play with compost.
Yep. But, you know, months, well, you're talking months, you know, so it's not like, you know, within weeks we're going to have, you know, fabulous compost.
Yep.
So you're looking at, you know, sort of a few months process, and as Marcus said, you know, turning it, aerating it, adding materials, like just keeping an eye on it so it's not too wet or too dry.
Now, you've intrigued when you mentioned paper. What would you get out of paper? Like, I can understand in the food scraps, you know, there's all sorts of vitamins needed. What would come out of paper?
Well, it's really just getting that mix right, so that if it's too wet, you actually don't end up with like a good organic material at the end.
Right.
Like what you're looking for is kind of a nice loose sort of earth mix, you know. So it feels like soil, it looks like soil, it has that soft sort of dryness, what's called friable. It's right. Got a soft dryness to it. If it's just sort of wet, it's not going to be soil-like, you know, it'll just be kind of like a wet mixture.
Sure.
Yeah.
I'm just going to take one more quick break and we'll be back with more.
Betsy, what you looking so down about?
Got a feeling cause I'm blue. Oh, Lord, since my daddy said goodbye. I don't know what I'm going to do. All I do is sit and cry. Oh, Lord, that last long day he said goodbye.
For me.
I hate to think it all over. I love
Welcome back to Community Connections. And now we've been talking all about the Healesville Community Garden. Terrific project. And of course, the other good thing about it is it's a community doing something for the community. It's not relying on governments, council or anything else, are they? It's the people doing something for the people.
That's true. However, we also do really need the support of council, and they're very supportive of us.
Yep.
But we can take the credit for coming up with good ideas and getting behind, you know, getting behind our effort and offering what we can.
Right. So in the few minutes that we've got left, we'll give you the contact details in another 2 or 3 minutes as to how you can find out more about this Healesville Community Garden. But first of all, Sunday the 7th of April. Well, actually, you can get there from 11 o'clock and stay till 3 o'clock, don't you? Because the homegrown is 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. and then you've got from noon to 3 p.m. the Community Voices.
Correct. So that's a beautiful day, all free, family friendly and dog friendly as well, because we're in Coronation Park. And that's one of the things that we really support is, you know, free activities. Our workshops are also free. So if people want to come along, it's at the garden, stroll around all day. And if they want to contact us, they can email, and our email address is healesvillecg@gmail.com. A really easy way to, you know, track what we're doing is via our Facebook page. So that's at Healesville Community Garden.
All right, so you can go along, you can have a look at what's going on in the garden, you can have some demonstrations, there's produce around, a few stalls, and there's free pizza. But you can also listen to some of the local performers who are out there doing their best and want to get known a bit, and go along and support them at the Voices in the Park. That's all on the 7th of April. However, if you after that, you'll probably want to do something else. You'll be excited. So the 12th of May, you've got the
Machine on the Green fundraising event.
And I really want to see what sort of vehicles you get. I reckon you might get some real doozies.
Absolutely. And just a last little plug there, Alan, if people are interested in connecting with the garden but they can't come to our events on the 7th of April, then if they check the Facebook page, they'll see what workshops are coming up. So as Marcus said, in May we're going to have a mushrooming workshop. Mid-year we're going to have making food fun with a focus on kids.
And I'm going to say mushrooms have sort of taken a bit of a back thing since that tragedy down Lee and Catherine. And I know
that's, I assure you, all these ones are safe.
I was going to say that it's not as silly as it sounds, because I do believe that the sales of mushrooms through the shops have taken a real dive.
Definitely.
But anyway, so you can come along and find out how to grow your own mushrooms.
And be safe.
And you know they're going to be really safe. And you know they're mushrooms, not something else. If they just give us your website again, please, if you could.
Well, our Facebook page is at Healesville Community Garden. And Healesville is with an uppercase H, community with an uppercase C, and garden with a lowercase G. And that will get you there.
And you'll find out all about what's coming up. I guess, and not only the let's go back a bit. Not only these major things that we've been talking about, the 7th of April and the 12th of May and all that, but I guess there's always something going on in the garden. Are you looking, is the garden full of as many people that could have a garden, or is there still opportunities for people to actually get their own plot there?
There are still opportunities. We've been really lucky to get to nearly maximum membership over the past 12 months. But people do come and go. So we'd recommend that people just shoot us an email or send us a message via Facebook, because there's always opportunities. And mid-year, we're also going to put in new planter boxes in our poly house. So that's going to be another site upgrade. In just, you know, sort of a few months away. And once those are in, then we open those up for rental as well.
Because the other thing is too that I can see is that we were talking before about the ladies who have lost their husbands, and it goes both ways. I shouldn't be sexist, but the other thing is too, if you've been used to living in a nice big house with a nice big garden, and all of a sudden because a partner dies or a divorce or whatever it might be, and all of a sudden you find yourself in a little unit where there's really nowhere for a garden, hey, you could get involved here, couldn't you? And you don't have all the upkeep and maintenance you have of a big plot around your house.
That's exactly right. And a lot of people actually join the garden for those reasons. They've downsized or they don't have the growing space around where they're living. But the other thing too, Alan, is that if people just want to be around the garden and to be around gardeners, they can join as a social member. So you don't only have to have a plot. Yep. So obviously for a lot of people, growing is, you know, what their sort of main game, whether it's in a ground plot or a raised bed or a planter box. But if you want that social engagement with other gardeners or to share ideas, you can just join as a social member. And so you're around all the activity, you'll be, you know, part of the meetings, you're part of the get-togethers, but you don't have the responsibility of, you know, planting and harvesting.
One of the things that I talk about on this show and have done for all the years I've been doing it is social isolation. And they say that unless people, particularly as they get older, do get themselves involved socially, and very often if there's a divorce or there's somebody dies or whatever it might be, that people can contract and just sit at home. And they say that social isolation will become one of the biggest killers in the years to come.
Absolutely. And we've had the experience where we've had older people come and join the garden as a way to actually connect with grandkids as well. So they've taken their plot. Yeah. And they've said, I'll invite my son or daughter to come along, and the grandkids can, you know, sort of get their hands into the gardening as well. And that becomes intergenerational, and we really support that. So, absolutely. And when it happens, it's actually really beautiful. So you've got somebody driving it, so it could be grandma or grandpa.
Yeah.
But the, you know, point is actually for them to engage their family. So they kick it off, they get it started, and then to have family members come and enjoy the garden, be part of looking after the garden and meeting other people around the community garden, you know, becomes the bonus. Yeah. Yep.
And the other thing too, with all of these activities, particularly if you're the older person or you're feeling a bit isolated, it's not only the time that you spend at the garden, it's when you go down the street to buy your shopping or whatever you might be doing, and you run into somebody that you've met at the garden, and, you know, I don't know, but I would suspect that then they wind up down a coffee shop at times. And so you're really increasing your knowledge of people and the amount of people you know, aren't you?
Yep, that's exactly right. And I'd just like to bring up, it's not just the older generation going through this so much. One of the reasons I actually joined the community garden was a bit of social isolation myself, and I was just finding it hard to reconnect with people. But I've met so many great friends that I believe that I'll have for a lifetime, and it's just been awesome, so positive.
Can't do better than that. Unfortunately, our time is gone. Thank you very much, the two of you, for coming in and telling us all about it. Best thing I can suggest is everybody gets down there on the 7th of April and find out all about the food fair, and also have some great music. Thanks very much.
Thanks. Thank you.
Thanks.